it's really kind of appropriate time that we reflect a lot on family. And that is somewhat why I chose to go in the direction that I'm going this morning with the sermon. Because of all this thinking about Father's Day, though, I also realized that there are many people who don't have good memories of their dad. In fact, there are people today who don't have any memory of their dad whatsoever. There are a lot of families who are not real excited about getting together with other members of their families. In fact, many people are dreading these family reunions that are coming up. The reality is, we have a lot of fragmentation in our families. It's something that we hear about in the news. It's something that we read about. It's something that psychologists and sociologists talk about. The breakup of the nuclear family, the breakdown of the family, it seems to become part of the fabric of our society. And there are those people who are claiming it's what's tearing at the very fabric of our society. The buzzword is dysfunctional families. But I would say that all of this fragmentation of the family, whether it's by time, the fact that with all the demands of work and all the demands of school that are out there, there seems to be so little time left for family, or whether it's fragmentation caused by distance. Some of us live thousands of miles away from family members. Some of us are glad we live thousands of miles away from our family members. Or whether it's fragmentation of broken relationships, of divorce, of angry words, of hurt feelings. I really don't think any of this is so brand new. In fact, I really do think that there is a lot that can be said of the fragmentation of families in New Testament times. In fact, in the writing of our scripture by Paul, I think in some ways he was addressing the fact that many New Testament Christians were also experiencing fragmentation of families. The reality is that things have always torn families apart. In those days, war, famine, disease, sometimes forced families to relocate, sometimes took family members away. There were many things that fragmented families, not the least of which would have been faith, something that continues to fragment families today. But in that day, choosing Christ could have meant alienating yourself from your family. From your family that were worshipers of Diana, or perhaps just good Jews. Either way, your choice of Christ would not have been something they would have been pleased with, and indeed might have been something that would have caused you to lose your relationship with them. In the midst of all of the turmoil of our world and all of the fragmentations of families comes the good news that Paul shares with us. The good news is that we are part of a new family, that we have been adopted. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, is the very Spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's wonderful good news. We are a part of something. We belong. We are united by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And that means that we are united across time. Everyone who's ever been a Christian, everyone who's ever been led by the Spirit, Peter and Paul, they're part of our family. They're part of who we can claim. We're united across distance, whether it's Christians who live halfway around the world or our next door neighbors. We are united. And quite hopefully, this family in Christ unites us to that person sitting beside us in the pew. And lets us know that there are indeed people who love us, who care about us, who are there for us. We don't have to hope and wonder that someday there might be healthy families for people to be a part of. That's what the church has been called to be, a healthy family, a place where we can share with one another, where we can heal and grow. And this family we're a part of is a pretty amazing family. I mean, think about it. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Have you ever thought it would be really neat to be the heir to a Fortune 500 company? Have you ever thought, wow, if I was part of that family, to be heir to a great fortune, heir to a great destiny, heir to a great name. But the reality is, we are. We are heirs of God, the creator of the universe. Everything that God has, that's what we are heirs to. A Fortune 500 company, a famous family, a destiny. None of those hold a candle, even all combined, to what we are heir of. Now, the thing about being an heir is often you don't get to benefit until somebody dies. And since God is probably not going to do that anytime soon, we might think, how does this benefit us? But you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, all that the Father has, He has given to me. And all that I have, I give to you. We don't have to wait for our death or God's death to benefit, to be an heir, and to enjoy all that God has to offer us. It is ours today to enjoy, to bring joy to others with. It is amazing, an amazing inheritance. Paul, though, warns us to be careful with our inheritance and not to trade it away and fall back into a spirit of slavery and of fear. Now, perhaps when we hear these things, we think about that we need to be careful or God will disinherit us. Too many demerits. I'm taking it all back. I saw you do that. You're written out of my will. You're no longer my son. I will not acknowledge your existence. I think maybe sometimes that's how we think of God and how we think being a part of God's family is. And perhaps how fragile we think our inheritance is. But our inheritance is fragile for another reason. Not because God is going to reach down and grab it away from us if we do the least wrong thing. Remember, part of what we inherit is forgiveness. Part of what we inherit is grace. Part of what we inherit is eternal life. And these are not things that God is going to take from us. They are, however, things that we can trade away, that we can sell off. We can trade off our life for death, Paul warns. When he says, if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if we live according to the Spirit, we will have life. There are two figures in the Bible that I was thinking about as I was working on this sermon that to me traded away, sold off their inheritance in a way that I think can help us in looking at being careful with our inheritance that we have from God. They are the two sons in the prodigal son story. Do you remember that story? The father has two sons whom he loves. And the younger son comes to the father and says, I want my inheritance. And the father says, all that I have is yours. But here, take and do what you will with it. So the son sells off the inheritance and buys things that eventually lead him down a road that he decides he really doesn't want to be on. It's pretty obvious how the younger son traded in his inheritance and sold it off for things of the flesh and things that did not lead to life. We also, though, remember the end of the story, how the son came back and was accepted back into the family, forgiven and loved. And that there was another brother, an older brother. Now, it may not be so obvious how the older brother sold off his inheritance. It may be better said that he never claimed it in the first place. The older brother stayed with the father and labored and toiled. But when it comes to the end of the story and there's this big party welcoming the younger brother back, what does the older brother do? He stands outside and he pouts. He's ticked. Here he has been with the father all of these years, done all this hard work, done everything he's asked, done all the right things. And where's his party? Not even once, he says, have you given me a fatted calf that I could celebrate with my friends. Do you remember the father's response? It's total confusion, bewilderment, and I would say indeed pain. What do you mean? All that I have is yours. But instead of a loving relationship, a father and son, a give and take relationship, the son had traded adoption, had traded being this man's beloved son for a spirit of slavery, for a list of chores, and a bunch of stuff he was supposed to do and not supposed to do, as though someday that would earn him something with the father, that he would prove he was worthy. He missed the point altogether. Everything that the father had was already his. He had nothing to prove. He had nothing to earn. It would have been given to him. It was his at that very moment. It is the story of the second son that I think I need to hear more than the story of the first today. And possibly that is true for those of us in the church. When we hear that we are sons and daughters of God, when we hear that we are heirs, I think sometimes we miss the significance of how overwhelming that is, of how incredible that is. And we fall back into a spirit of slavery that says, okay, I realize that's incredible, but I'm going to earn my own way. I'm going to prove I'm worthy. I'm going to do these things and not do these things, and then I'll be okay. And we trade a list of do's and don'ts for a loving relationship with our heavenly parent. The good news is we don't have to make the mistakes of the younger son or the mistakes of the older son. The even better news is if we have, at any point we can come back and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And we know that God loves us and will forgive us and that our inheritance is there waiting. But one of the reasons that we don't have to fall back into that spirit of slavery is the first part of the scripture which says, so then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh. Another translation puts it this way. We are under no obligation whatsoever to the things of the flesh. I like that translation, that since this is my own personal way, I would say it, we are under no obligation whatsoever to the things of this world. We are not obligated to earn our way. We are not obligated to prove ourselves. We are not obligated to live by a world that says, take care of yourself first. You've got to make your own way. You've got to be successful. That Jesus stuff is nice to talk about, but it's just not practical. We're not indebted to their rules. We're not obligated to their way of being. For we belong to God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And let us not forget that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. Greg, could we do that same song we did to begin with as our closing, rather than the one I've chosen? Would you all stand with me for our closing hymn? And we're not going to do a hymn. We're going to do the first praise song that we did this morning, because it was such a perfect choice that Greg found.